Take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I want you to look at the last three verses this morning. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, very familiar scripture. The Bible said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for ye souls.
Thank God.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As I read these verses here, and very familiar, and we preached out of them several times, I think the one thing that the Lord wanted to get across in these verses, probably more than one thing, but if you look in verse 28 and verse 29, is that they deal and that with rest. They deal in how to have rest. I truly believe that verse 28 and that deals with a lost person and that coming to the Lord and getting saved, and that'll give rest. If you don't have rest today and that because of your lack of salvation, you need to come and get saved. Verse 29, and that deals, I honestly believe, and that with the saved person when he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." I'm going to tell you, you'll never have rest as a Christian. You'll never have peace and joy, true peace and joy, in your heart as a saved person until you take the yoke and that begin to serve Christ and that learn of Him, learn what He would want you to do for Him and serve Him with the best of your ability. Friend, you'll never have any rest in your soul and in your heart today. I want to deal in that primarily in that with verse 28 when he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." As I look at this verse, can I tell you today that the world, and if you're lost, you're looking and that for something to give you peace and rest in your heart today. Let me say that a lot of folk, they turn to the bottle, they turn to dope, they turn to a lot of things, and that to seek peace, and that to find joy. But outside of Jesus, you'll never have any. You know why you have trouble laying down in the nighttime and resting? Because you don't know Jesus. You know why your heart's in such a uproar and it's turned upside down. And you say, "What do you know about me?" I'm going to tell you, I don't know much about you. But boy, the Holy Spirit sure does. Amen. And your heart's just turned up on the outside. On the inside. And friend, I'm telling you, you ain't saved. You ain't never come to Him. He ain't never give you peace and joy and that rest that comes and that through salvation. Amen. You know what the word rest means? It means cessation. That means to quit of motion or action of any kind. It means to rest from labor or to rest from mental exertion. It means a state free from motion or disturbance. And then you got to love and that the Webster's 1828 dictionary, when it said a state free from motion or disturbance, it comes out here and says a state of reconciliation to God. Now, if you're going to have any rest, you got to be reconciled and that to God in heaven. You know what that means? That means that friendship that Adam once had over there in the garden that he lost because of his sin. What Jesus had done at Calvary on the cross that we looked at in Sunday school. Friend, he reconciled us and put us back together in a friendly state. And that with God, and that'll give you rest in your soul and in your heart when you come to get saved. Now, can I say today that some folk don't want no rest? Amen. Because as soon as they get rest, God begins to deal with them. And boy, I tell you, I believe today that's why some folk keep their music blaring. I just wide open. I mean, that's why they just stay on the go and on the run so much so that God can't deal with them. But I believe today, friend, if you want some rest, you're going to have to come and that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, I want to preach on how to have some rest today. Can I say, number one, you're troubled at heart. Now, I know that the world brings troubles to Christians. I understand that. I know that. Hey, listen, the Apostle Paul says at one point that he was troubled on every side. Without were fightings and within were fears. And even as Christians, we get fears and that in our life. But when you get troubled in your heart, about where you're going to spend eternity, friend, I believe you need to do something about it. Isaiah chapter 57, the Bible said, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Can I tell you today that, friend, if you've never been saved, your heart in that ought to be troubled. There ought to be some trouble in your heart. I look in John chapter 5 and I find a man down here that could not walk. He was lame and that from the beginning, I believe it was. And the Bible said in John chapter 5, "And after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water." Let me stop right here and say for just a second, friend, you can't get saved until the Holy Spirit moves in your heart. Amen. You can hear the blessed gospel now of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you won't get saved till then neither. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of folk think, "Well, I'll get saved when I want to get saved." Friend, you ain't going to move, and you ain't going to get saved until He begins to move, and that in your heart. Amen. And do something for you. But look right here. He said they were waiting for the moving of the water. Hey, these folk were blind, they were halt, they were withered, but they were waiting on something. And it said, "For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled," looky there, "troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease that they had," that he had. Let me say that, friend, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit comes by and He moves in your heart and He begins to trouble you and bad about your situation, about being lost. Hey, I'm glad there was one Sunday night that I got troubled. Amen. I really got troubled and mad about my salvation. I mean, I got bothered about that thing. I didn't have no rest. I was sitting on the back pew of a Baptist church. I didn't have no rest at all. And just needed and that to get saved. You know what happened that night? The Holy Spirit and that come by and troubled my heart. You know what it means to be troubled? It means to be agitated. It means to be bothered about something. Listen, you know what? If you ain't saved, you need to get disturbed and bothered and agitated about the situation that you're in today. You say, "Well, preacher, you look across the house and you'd say everybody's saved." I don't know everybody's heart. You don't either, by the way. Amen. I'll deal with that just here in just a second. I got to thinking about getting trouble. Hey, there was a fellow in Acts chapter 16. Here Paul and Silas is over there. About to get dry. There Paul and Silas was. They's in prison. At midnight they sang. Bible said they sang praises and prayed, and the Lord and the prisoners heard them. And the Bible said at midnight there was an earthquake and the doors swung open. And you know what happened? The Bible tells us over there that keeper of the prison drew his sword, and he was going to fall on his sword and kill himself. And he got troubled about this situation. He was troubled about the situation that there was. But then Paul cries out and says, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." In Acts 16, verse 29, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling." I believe he wasn't troubled no longer about the situation at hand, but he was troubled in that about the situation that was in his life. He fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I believe he got troubled about the situation that he was in. He wanted to do something about it. Can I say that may be just what you're troubled about? You realize, you may have, hey, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sure the Lord did. The night before I got saved, I'm sure that he had dealt with me. But friend, I'm going to be honest with you. I just remember that one Sunday night that I realized that I was lost. And by the second verse, I moved and God saved me. Now, some people realize for a long time that they're lost. And God deals with them and deals with them and they finally move. But all I remember was that Sunday night. I believe the preacher preached on hell that morning. We had an evangelist come through and he preached on hell. And somewhere in that day and that time and by that night, God had troubled my heart about salvation. You may realize that you're lost and just need to get saved. Never been to Calvary and just need to get saved. Maybe that's what's troubling you. You just know you're lost and you just need to get saved. Jesus loves you and you know that and you want to go to heaven, but you're not sure about that. I think a lot of folk can get troubled and bad about dying. You ever been there? Troubled about dying? I've even been troubled about dying after I got saved. I'll be honest with you. Hey, some things you just got to get nailed down, man.
Amen.
You ain't going to have no rest or peace or joy until you get it nailed down.
Amen.
Till you get your salvation and that nailed down, I'm going to be honest with you. Dying's going to bother you. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not looking forward to dying.
Right. Come on.
Don't misunderstand me. I'm not looking forward to dying, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I've watched some of them folks over in the nursing home, and their bodies are broke. I don't mean broke down, I mean broke. I mean if you were stuck in a bed all day long and you couldn't care for yourself and you saved, you'd want to die. Or you'd want to go home.
Come on.
I've watched them. I've seen them, boy, when they get ready to cross, they just tickled to death, get ready to go. Huh? They didn't have no problem crossing. There's one right now over in the hospital. Me and Kelly will go see her after a while. She'll tell you. I mean, she's just ready to go. I mean, she's just hanging around waiting on the Lord. That's it. You know why? She's got peace and rest in her heart. She can tell you about getting saved. She can tell you what Jesus done for her. But are you afraid to die? In Hebrews 9:27 says, as is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You are going to die. Does that bother you? Does that bother you? It does not bother me about my eternity.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I know where I'm headed when I leave here. How about you?
Yeah, come on.
Does that trouble you and that when you're going to leave here, when you draw your life's breath and that life's heartbeat is made and they're going to lay you in the ground one day, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? There is a place called hell. Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Hell ought to trouble you if you're lost. I've told y'all about this gentleman that I've been dealing with. I didn't deal with him this past Friday one. He was in rehabilitation when I was there, but to be honest with you, I didn't know how to deal with him, and I'm still not sure what I'm going to do yet, but God's going to have to help us. But if you've never been saved, you need to realize what Ecclesiastes 11:3 says. It says, as a tree at the very end, it says, as a tree falleth, there it shall be. In other words, you die in that lost condition that you're in, then here's where you're going to go. Luke 16, verse 19, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. Hey, listen, that's where you're going to go if you ain't saved. Amen. Say amen right there. That's where you're going to go if you ain't saved. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And see, if Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Listen, hell is a place that's real. Hell is a place that has fire. Hell is a place where torments are. Hell is a place where you cannot escape. And friend, I'm going to be honest with you. If I wasn't saved, I'd be troubled about going there this morning. Hey, ain't you glad Jesus died to keep us out of that place? Amen. I'm glad he suffered for me and you so that we could be saved. But if you die lost, that's where you're going to go. Say, God wouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, he would too. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30 and 31. You look over there. Let me go over there. I want you to see this. You tell me God wouldn't do that. I'll show you that he will. If you believe the word of God, I'll show you that he'll do it. Hebrews chapter 10. Look, I believe it's verse 28. Hebrews 10 verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. You know what that means? If two or three people said you done it, you done it. And they would stone you to death. It was worthy of death. They done Naboth that way, didn't they? Huh? Now listen, they kept the law during that time. Amen. Jezebel set all that up against him and had two or three people come down there and lie on Naboth and said that he had blasphemed God and blasphemed the king when he did not. But they took him out there and they killed him. He said, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people, and it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Tell me God won't do that. You reject his beloved Son and turn the blood away that he shed, and that for me and you, I'll guarantee you on the authority of God's word, he'll sentence you and that to an eternal lake of fire one day at a great white throne and cast you in, and there's where you'll spend eternity. Hey, I'd be troubled about that if I wasn't saved this morning. I believe I'd get troubled about it. I believe I would. I believe I'd get bothered about it, get agitated about it. You can tell when folk get under conviction. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does, ain't it? Brings conviction and that to folks' life because of sin. You've realized that you're a sinner. Huh? Can I ask you something this morning? Does it bother you when we preach on the end time? Huh? When us preachers preach on the end time, or you get around folk that's talking about the end time, huh? And Jesus is soon to come. You know why? You know why that bothers you? You ain't ready to go. Huh? Huh? You ain't got no rest. That's why he said in the book of Matthew, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden. I mean, you're burdened down with this thing. And listen, he said, and I will give you rest. It don't bother me talking about the end time. I'm looking for it. I'm waiting and listening for the trumpet. I hope it blows before I get done today. Amen. Oh, it can't happen yet, can you? Better get saved. Boy, you ought to fall out in the pew where you're at right now, and that's Jesus, and that to come into your heart. I'm telling you right now, it'd be good for you to do that. It'd be wonderful. Wonderful. You know why? You know why you're troubled this morning? God has pointed out by the Holy Spirit that you're a sinner and that you're dying, going to hell, going to spend eternity out there. And the only way you can fix that is to come to Him and be forgiven. Amen. What is it? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You can't get away. I can't get away from sin today. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ can you be forgiven. You know right now, you know and realize that there is a judgment day coming and you are a sinner. That's why you're bothered today. That's why you're bothered. I was listening. You're going to think this is funny, but I was listening to Jerry Clowers the other day. And I love to listen to him. But I wasn't listening to him tell jokes. I was listening to him tell his testimony. And I got to listening to him talk about getting saved. Got saved in 1939. You know, God was just as real in 1939. Amen. As He is today. Same God. Yeah. Ain't that amazing? Well, you know what? We talk about them great revivals that took place back yonder. He's still the same God that sent great revivals. He's still the same. He's still the same God that can still save sinners. But I got to listen to him talk about getting saved. And he said, you know, that preacher got up and on a Thursday night, a revival, and got to preaching about that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he said, I said, in my heart, not me. And he said, I got to thinking about President Roosevelt and General MacArthur. Now, some of y'all know who them men are. Those were great men, if you'd let me say that, in our country at that time. And he said, I got to thinking about them, how that those men had never done nothing wrong. He said, that hadn't come through my mind just a short piece. And the preacher said, even the president and great generals are sinners. And he said, that's when God worked on my heart. And he said, I got a hold of that back of that pew and knew that I was in trouble. That's what he said. He said, I knew that I was in trouble. You know, the greatest thing that ever happened to you, realize you're in trouble. Just realize you're in trouble. Boy, I'm telling you, they's great men and great ladies, but I'm going to be honest with you. Until they come to know Jesus, they're just sinners too, amen, that needs to get saved. Are you troubled in your heart today? Now, dear Christian, you may be troubled or have troubles, but I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, if you ever come to Him, listen, there ought to be some joy and peace about going to heaven in your heart this morning. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I want you to realize this morning, friend, you're a sinner needing to get saved. Are you troubled? Are you bothered in your heart? Is there something on the end? See, we can't all the time see what's going on the outside, but I tell you, God sure knows what's going on the inside.
Amen.
Huh? And you know what? Sometimes it'll slip out on you. It'll slip out on you and tell on you. Conviction tells on you sometimes. Do you know that? It will. Sometimes it gets on your face, don't it? Gets on your face. Listen, I know a feller that, I believe it was Donald, wasn't it, Brother Danny, when the Lord was calling him to preach, wrecked his car down there and rolled it and liked to kill himself, and he got out of there and they was dragging his car out, and he said, I ain't a preaching. Nobody asked him about preaching. He said, I ain't a preaching. God had done bothered him about that thing, you see. Huh? What's God bothering you about today? About your salvation? About your salvation, what's God bothering you about? How do you fix that? How do you get rest? You know how you get rest? Look what he said in verse 28 of the text verse. Come unto me. Well, it's the only way to find rest for your soul is to come to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, right over there, I said, come unto me. He said, come now and let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But he said, come now. Can I tell you today, it does not matter who you are or what you've done.
Amen.
You may be the biggest sinner in the whole world, but Jesus will still save you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. First Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said this. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. You may be the biggest sinner that there ever was, but Jesus will still save you. But you know what? I look across the house and I know most of you. And I wouldn't say that you're the biggest sinner. But you know where you may fit in at? You may be the best person that there's ever been. I know some of you right now have got some sin hid. Amen.
Come on.
Got some things going on. What are you talking about? What do you know, preacher? I don't know nothing.
That's right.
I know the Holy Spirit knows.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. You may be saved. I don't know why I'm parking here all of a sudden, but here we are.
Come on.
You may think you're hiding that sin, but you ain't hiding it. You can't hide your sin. And if you're lost, you can't hide what you are before God neither. Hey, he said over there in the book of Numbers, I believe it was, to be sure that your sin will find you out. If you're saved, dabbling in sin, it'll find you out. But if you're lost, that sin's going to find you out one day. What sin are you talking about, preacher? The rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Nicodemus in John chapter 3 was a good man. Nicodemus was a religious man. But he was a lost man.
Amen.
You may be raised in church, kept in church, brought to church, went to Sunday school, heard all the best preaching in the world. But until you come and act to a place and trust Jesus to save you, you'll never get rid of that trouble in your heart. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He can keep that agitation and that disturbance away from you. Romans chapter 10 says this right here, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You skip down a few more verses. In verse 13, the Bible said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what it takes. Is it really that simple, preacher? It's really that simple. You get under conviction. You get troubled about your heart, in your heart, about your lost condition. And then you come to Him and ask Him to save you. And you know what He'll do? He'll give you rest.
Yeah. Amen.
He'll give you rest.
Amen.
You know why I can pillow my head in the nighttime and it don't bother me if I don't wake up? Because I'm saved. I'm saved. I can lay down and go to sleep. You know, folk do die in their sleep.
Amen.
Amen. Some folk just go to sleep and don't wake back up. Well, that happens to old people. No, it does happen to old people, but just not old people. Huh? A lot of folks, you may be trying a lot of things to find peace and joy and rest. I love to rest. Don't you love to rest? After you just had a hard day and worked. Can I say this? Me and my wife was talking about this yesterday. It would do a lot of us good just to work. I mean work. I got in such a place one time physically, and it affected me mentally, that I had all this energy stored up. I had to go do something. I'm just talking about physically right now. Do you good to just go do something. Body's made to work. Amen. It'd help you feel better. I believe that with all my heart. But you know what make you feel best of all? If you just come and got saved.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you, you're talking about a peace
Amen.
And a joy. I mean the happiness that you can just...
Amen.
You can finally rest.
Hallelujah.
Rest. Have you ever worked so hard that you come in and you tried to lay down and you just couldn't rest?
Right.
I've been there a time or two over life. I mean, you lay down and you just want to rest, but you just can't. You want rest, But you just can't. I love it when you work hard and nighttime comes and you get your night clothes on and you go to bed and you get in the bed and your body just sinks down. You ever been there? Boy, I've been there. I mean, it just sinks down into that mattress. And it's just like all that tension that's in your body is gone. You know what happens when you come and get saved? That's kind of like salvation, if you let me say that. You know what happens? You come and all that worry and all that you've been laden down with, burdened with, amen, and all those things that you're concerned about death and hell and judgment, all those things, when you find yourself a place of prayer and ask Jesus to save you and you repent of your sins and He comes into your heart, boy, you're talking about peace. I mean, you can rest. Rest. He can give you the rest that you need. I want you to take your Bible as I get ready to close and go over to Acts 16. I've already talked about this feller, but I want you to see him. I want you to see what happens when you come to Jesus. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So the jailer had a charge. You make sure that these men stay in prison. Who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Can I say that there was some trouble, wasn't there? Now think about that for just a second. There was some trouble. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. That's why his house could get saved. They went over and preached to them too. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. Look what your Bible says. And rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You reckon that feller had some rest in his heart? Well, why do you say that, preacher? Well, one, his actions are just a little different.
Amen.
Than what they were before. Well, you mean he was a jailer that had them thrust into the inner prison and he knew that his life was on the line if they got away. But once he met Jesus, he not only lets them out, he lets them baptize him, go down to his house and preach the gospel to his family. Not only that, he feeds them and they're sitting around the dinner table and that rejoicing about what God had done for him and his family.
Right.
Tell me that old boy hadn't changed and got some rest. For the sake of time, Mark chapter 5, I won't be able to read it all, but Mark chapter 5, a lot of you know about Legion. Legion is filled in that with the devil. The Lord cast them out and they go over into a bunch of swine. They run down the embankment there, if you let me say that, and they choked in the sea. The Bible said, in other words, they drowned it and they killed their self. And the Bible said right here, let me see if I can find it. It says that in verse 15, well, I need to go back. Let me back up because you need to understand something. Go back to verse 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, under the country of the Gadarenes, And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he'd often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, now I've got that underlined in my Bible, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. I don't believe this feller had any rest.
Amen.
I believe he was troubled.
Amen.
Don't you? But when he meets Jesus, verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. He's went from being troubled to having peace and joy and rest. How do you know he had rest? And he had the legion. Look at the very first thing it said. Sitting. Sitting. He wasn't running around cutting on himself. Wasn't running around hollering and carrying on. He had rest in his heart. Peter's cast into prison. They're going to kill him the next day. When that angel comes down there to get Peter out of prison through the night, what did he have to do? He had to nudge on old Peter. He had to kick him. He said, Peter, put your shoes on. We got to go. Peter knew that he was probably going to die the next day. And you know what? He had laid down there in prison and went to sleep.
Amen.
He had rest. If you knew that you were going to die tomorrow, would you have rest in your heart? If you knew that tomorrow was it, I mean it's coming to an end for you, it's over with, you're going to meet God. How are you going to leave that? Is there trouble in your heart? Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's give us a verse of invitation, if we would, fellas. Maybe you've never been saved and you're troubled in your heart. I want you to come and get saved this morning. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Oh, you can get your mind at ease about salvation. You can get your heart at ease about salvation and just be able to rest. Boys, Revelation 3. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Is he knocking this morning, wanting to come in? Is he knocking? He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Mark chapter 5, the story of Legion. You go on and read, and you find there's a woman over there that had an issue of blood. And the Bible said that she had tried many things of many physicians, but was none bettered, but rather grew worse. You may have tried so much to find peace and joy and happiness in your heart, but you've never been saved. You cannot go back to it. There's not a time. I can go back to a time when I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I know that He did. How about you, friend? I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. I'm asking you to examine yourself to see whether or not you're in the faith. I'm asking you, are you saved? Do you know heaven's your home? Do you know when you leave here, this is it? You've got to have this thing settled now. You can't fix it later. You can't settle it later. You've got to settle it now. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We ask you to help in this invitation. Lord, really couldn't feel that somebody's lost this morning. We'll save somebody. Lord, this morning be a good morning for them to come. Lord, don't let them set trouble in their heart. Let them come get saved. There may be somebody here this morning, Lord. It's just, they are troubled. They're saved, but they're troubled. Or they might need to come and pray. Would you move on folks' hearts this morning? Touch them and help them right now. Let's keep our heads bowed this morning.